Yes, hello, good morning. Another day, another programme. First up, DUP leader Arlene Foster has said she is willing to meet Irish language activists as talks pause for Easter. Only a few months ago, Mrs. Foster ruled out an Irish Language Act while she was leader. But are the DUP preparing the ground for that act? And what form would it take? Here's what Arlene said yesterday.
We do want to respect and indeed better understand the language and culture which we're not a part of, and to that end, over the next short period of time, I do intend to listen and to engage with those from the Gaelic Irish background, those without party political baggage or indeed demands, but people who genuinely love the Irish language and don't want to use it as a political weapon.
The SDLP's Patsy McGlone joins me this morning. Good morning, Patsy.
My Jean White, good morning, Vinny.
What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's very good to hear that Arlene is actually doing that. I think I'm surprised actually she hasn't come across any Irish language speakers before now. But anyway, nevertheless, it's good that she's doing that. It's good that she's engaging with people. And it's good that for all of us, education is no bad thing, particularly politicians. Maybe opens her eyes to other backgrounds, other cultures, other ways of doing things, and particularly in the Irish language, something that I feel passionately about. It is really good because if she digs a wee bit deeper rather than what she perceives the Irish language to be about, maybe she will find that it opens the key to so many things.
Well, to be fair to Arlene, it's not what she says that the Irish language is about, but what people sometimes use it for, that political football type thing. So it's not necessarily the people that speak Irish.
Yes.
That she's referring to.
No, I take that, and if her perception is that it is being used as a political football, my point being is that the education aspect of it, getting out there, seeing practical levels, whether it's Níosculann, the Bunscolana, or indeed wider heritage projects, as she sees that and as she hears from people who are just passionate about their language, our shared language, then she will find out that it is much, much wider and indeed much more enriching than what maybe her current perception is about it.
Do you think Arlene Foster would have been reaching out to Irish language groups the way she was yesterday if Sinn Féin had gone straight into the executive?
I honestly do not know. I don't know how this has come about, but if it has come about and it leads to an enriching of her awareness, indeed her party's awareness, and we're seeing, without getting into the details of the talks, we're seeing a wee bit of exchange in those talks where people are beginning to engage with one another. And that can only be a good thing if it leads to learning, if it leads to education, and if it leads to that one word, respect, which is so, so important if the society in the North hears to move forward.
It does seem like quite a key change, Patsy, from what Arlene was saying not that long ago. Let's have a listen to what the former First Minister had to say as recently as the 6th of February.
Are you serious? You think that the DUP should implement an Irish Language Act as some sort of a magnanimous step for Sinn Féin? We will never accede to an Irish Language Act. It is used as a political tool, going back to Gerry Adams' speech in Enniskillen, to break the bees. That's everybody in this room that's here is a member of the Democratic Unionist Party. So they are using, and it amazes me that people cannot see, how they are using the Irish language as a tool to beat unionism over the head. And how you cannot see that, I am quite amazed. Never mind that, but the cost that would be incurred in terms of the Irish language would be quite incredible, and all for a tiny minority of people who choose to speak the language, and of course they're entirely entitled to do so. But if we have an Irish Language Act, maybe we should have a Polish Language Act as well, because there are more people in Northern Ireland that speak Polish than speak Irish. So, this characterisation of we should have given something to Sinn Féin to keep them appeased is not the way I do business. If you feed a crocodile, they're going to keep coming back and looking for more. Maybe that was the way the Ulster Unionist Party felt that they should proceed, but it's not the way the Democratic Unionist Party does their business.
Patsy McGlone, are we reading too much into it? She seemed very adamant, and that's only, what, a couple of months ago. Perhaps we are maybe assuming more from what she has said yesterday in terms of how our stance might be changing. In the last 10 years, the DUP have consistently said no Irish Language Act, and now she's saying she wants to meet with Irish language activists. Maybe, are we expecting too much here?
Well, I'm not expecting anything. I'm not assuming anything about what she's doing. I'm just glad that eventually she's doing it and that she will find it enriching, I hope, for herself, and she'll find it informative and educational, and I certainly hope that that there will contribute to her understanding of how important this is, not politically for Irish language speakers, but how important it is for them culturally that the northern state here, Northern Ireland, officially recognise their rights as speakers. And for all the right reasons.
Okay. Well, tell me this, Patsy. Would you accept a broader language and culture bill that's not just a standalone Irish Language Act?
Well, I think we're probably getting into some of the material of the talks here. Our view has been very consistent on that, and that's backed up indeed by the Committee of Experts at European level.
Is your view?
Sorry, I'm just about to explain it to you. And that is that there be a standalone act, because the learned opinion is that if you try and meld too many acts together to respect too many different linguistic views, then it winds up a mess. Like, there are those who will be putting forward their views about, and have done, their views on Ulster Scots, which is formally recognised at European level by the Council of Europe too. So, without getting into too much of the detail where the SDLP is coming from, for very valid and formal good reasons, and indeed informed good reasons, our view is that there be a lack to cater for the Irish language.
Some people might see, Patsy, that when we talk about compromise and different parties having different red lines and things that they want to get across the line with their agreement, that this might be a way of doing that, of trying to bring the two parties together. But you're saying that it's not something you would support?
Well, no. Again, without getting into the details of the working groups, where there has been, in certainly more recent days, a lot of engagement and a lot of good work done, it is for us to put forward what our proposals are and to see what will come out the other end in relation to. We're very consistently putting forward the view that there is informed opinion there, and it's informed at wider European Union level that this is the best way to go for formal recognition, in my case, of as an Irish language speaker, of the Irish language. It is for others to put forward proposals, as they have done, around recognition of their culture, their language, and to see what comes out the other end.
Well,
of course, the negotiating process.
Well, Patsy, talking of the SDLP and their stance, many would argue that if it wasn't for Sinn Féin taking their stance that they have on the Irish Language Act, that it mightn't be on the agenda in any form.
Well, it has been consistently on the agenda in every form since the Good Friday Agreement onwards. The problem is it hasn't been delivered upon. That's the difficulty. And that's the point and stage at which we're at now.
How often have we heard the SDLP calling and shouting as much as Sinn Féin have been in recent days?
Well, on numerous occasions, if you check up press releases, if you check the number of meetings we've had and engaged with the likes of Pubble, the likes more recently of Conor na Gaeilge.
Yes, but you have to admit, though, Patsy, if it wasn't for Sinn Féin taking the executive to the point where it is now, then we wouldn't be in this position where this red line surrounds the Irish Language Act and the demand for that to be put in place.
Well, probably if it hadn't been for the Good Friday Agreement, there would have been no mention of parity of esteem. There would have been no mention whatsoever of structures or engagements going back to that Good Friday Agreement. And we know, of course, who the architects of that Good Friday Agreement were. What we're saying is there, and that's an internationally binding agreement, and that agreement, it was enshrined in it as part of parity of esteem for me, coming from the community that I come from, and the Irish language being so important. It has consistently been there. The Irish language was mentioned, the Good Friday Agreement. The difficulty is that it consistently has not been delivered upon.
Patsy,
so
stay
we
there.
We are where we are.
Stay there for a moment, if you can, please, Patsy.
Sure.
I want to bring on commentator and journalist Malachy O'Doherty. Good morning, Malachy.
Good morning, Finny. Good morning, Patsy.
Long time no see, Malachy.
Yeah, I've been away for a wee while, but not that far. No, I've only been away a week.
What are your thoughts on what Arlene was saying yesterday and this perceived change in her stance?
Well, I think she has at last worked out that the Irish language is bigger than Sinn Féin, and it took her some time to get there, but it is the reality. And when she goes out into the Irish language-speaking community, she will find that diversity of opinion there. She will find among Irish language speakers many people who wouldn't vote Sinn Féin under any circumstances, and she will find some who think that Gerry Adams walks in water. She will find the same range of opinion, in other words, within the Irish language community that you would find within the broader, well, certainly the broader nationalist Irish community of Northern Ireland. And that it'll be good for her to see that, you know, because it is an important thing to bear in mind. Sinn Féin have politicised the language. I think there's no doubt about that. Go back to 1994, I remember when Gerry Adams was announcing the team going up to the talks at Stormont for the very first round of negotiations. He said that as a gesture of good faith, he would the British government should provide funding to an Irish language school, which they had been holding back on the grounds that there weren't sufficient numbers of pupils in it. So it has been political for them for a long time.
How do you think, Malachy, that the DUP voters will be reacting to what Arlene said yesterday?
Well, if they react badly to it, it's partly Arlene's fault, you know, because, I mean, that speech that you played where she talks about feeding the crocodile and saying, never will we do this. I mean, that was always an absurd position for her to take, and it was based on ignorance.
And that was, of course, a reference to Sinn Féin.
Well, the crocodiles were Sinn Féin, but the understanding, she'd fail to grasp the point that I'm making, which is that the Irish language community is not Sinn Féin. You know, it does not overlap. It obviously overlaps with Sinn Féin. Everything overlaps with Sinn Féin, but it's beyond that. I mean, there are many, many people. I'm thinking of the wonderful Aidan McPoland, you know, who died just before Christmas, just a few weeks ago, and the great work that he did through the Altoc Trust, you know, to preserve and develop the Irish language in Northern Ireland. Not at all a political project, not at all related to the Republican agenda. I'm thinking of Linda Irvine and the great work she does with tourists over in East Belfast, you know, which is okay. Committed to the language and the love of language. So let Arlene go out there and meet people and discover what she should. She comes from Enniskillen. Where do you think the name of Enniskillen comes from? It's an Irish language word.
Well, tell me this. How can an Irish language act possibly affect anyone's Britishness? There's a language act in other parts of the UK, for example, Scotland and Wales. So in terms of people being concerned of the impact this will have on their culture, that their very Britishness, if that's how they want to see it.
Well, you know, people, it always bewilders me that people do see identity reflected back to them in the images around them, in the colour of the skin of the people around them, in the flags over the City Hall or whatever, and yet they do. And it is undoubtedly true that some people, when they begin to see Irish language street names, will bristle at the sight of that. But that's a pity, you know. But they will, and obviously we have heard from Gregory Campbell, we've heard from Arlene, we've heard from others, that this matters to them too, that they really do... they are annoyed by Irish, you know. They are annoyed by the language. And I, you know, I could only hope they would get over that, but I don't dismiss the reality that it needles them. I mean, I remember there was this huge, a very funny campaign a few years ago to put the Bruscar, the Irish language labels, on the litter bins around Belfast. And you'd have thought that the sky was falling in for some people, you know, that they couldn't walk down the street and see an Irish language word without taking offence at it. But what's to be done about that? I don't know. I mean, people will have to take some responsibility for their own prejudices and their own uneasiness these things.
Let's go back, Malachy, to what's sometimes referred to as a political weapon. So Arlene mentioned yesterday that she wanted to speak to people who didn't use the Irish language as a political weapon. So are the DUP going to decide which Irish speakers are genuine and which are not?
Well, I think, if they can get their head around the fact that some Irish language speakers clearly support Sinn Féin and endorse Sinn Féin campaign and others don't, and not make that the defining distinction, just take an interest in the language, regardless of whether they're Republicans or not Republicans, then at least she'll get some clearer idea. But, you know, it is true that Sinn Féin has used the language politically. And it's true also that it's a fairly, in terms of the Republican project, or going back to, say, the civil rights movement of 19... 19- 68. There was no mention of the Irish language in the civil rights campaign. The first generation of Republicans, Gerry Adams, Danny Morrison, Martin McGuinness, they all used the English form of their names, you know, when they started out on this. So you got an Irish language revival in places around West Belfast and Derry and so on, which was kind of, you know, at around the same time as the Troubles. There was an uplift in the language that came with the Republican project. But still in all, there are many, many people who, there's a diverse range of people who speak the Irish language and who love the language and who are entitled, if you like, to have that love of the language respected and in some measure acknowledged. How far you would expect people, the state, to bend practically towards that is another matter, because let's say something else that'll annoy people, but there's nobody that I know, and I don't doubt if there's anybody in Northern Ireland who speaks Irish better than they speak English.
Well, Patsy, how do you think the DUP will select who Arlene meets, these Irish language activists, who maybe she is happy and comfortable to talk to?
Well, I really don't know, but I would suggest maybe she starts, first of all, with the education sector, which is policed by, say, for example, Corlea na Gael Scoliachta, or people like that. To get out and see how it's been done in school, the enthusiasm, the vigour, and just sheer passion, and through education. And picked up one time, education as the passport to the future. So I hope this is really the start of education for Arlene and what the language is about, and the best elements of that language, and really the passion that many people, in an apolitical way, have for the language. As Malachy rightly said, you'll get a diversity of opinion politically, and maybe no political opinions among Irish language speakers, but what Arlene will find out if she goes and she really takes an interest in it, it will definitely open, well, I hope, certainly open her mind to a different world that maybe than what she's used to. And if that helps us build the future, which is one of respect from an informed, properly informed position, that's good. I think that's what all of us in the North here would want to see, a future built on commonality of respect for each other's opinion and respect for each other's
Well, Patsy, what do you have to say to what Malachy said a few moments ago in terms of that nobody in Northern Ireland speaks Irish better than they do English?
I don't really know
about
that. Probably because I'm not using it every day, I wouldn't speak it as well as what, or better than I speak English. But I would hope I'm almost close to it. I'm sure there are other people.
Is he wrong?
Beg your pardon?
Is Malachy wrong? Does anyone in Northern Ireland speak Irish better than they speak English?
Oh, I would certainly think so. There are those who have been educated fully through the medium of Irish, and for whom, if they speak it in their family home, it would be their first language. So, again, that's a generational thing. That's working.
Yeah, Malachy, I would argue you're wrong.
He gets
it wrong now and again, Patsy. I wouldn't be too worried.
There might be 10 people in Northern Ireland who speak Irish better than they speak English. But let's face it, for instance, if
10
you're modern,
people, Malachy.
There might be. Well, I'm not even. I doubt it. For instance, look.
So why do we need an act?
Well, I'm not saying we need an act. I do think we need respect for people who speak Irish, but I'm not saying we need an act.
Well, you can see why there's a slight contradiction, though. If you believe, and you know, I'm not saying it's true, that only 10 people in Northern Ireland can speak Irish better than English, then there will be people shouting at their radio this morning saying, well, what's the point?
Well, I think maybe to get back to that point, I doubt if there's any substance or any evidence to back that up. I know I could say...
Well, hang on a minute. Patsy.
I could say there's 10,000. But,
an educated, modern mind tuned into the world of literature and journalism needs English much more than Irish. I mean, if you're reading modern literature and you're reading modern science textbooks or whatever textbooks available in the university, if you go into any university library, you're going to find 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times more English text there than Irish. You cannot be a modern mind fully educated.
Yes, but I think, Malachy, what Patsy is trying to say is, what are you basing that number of 10 on?
I'm making a guess, but
totally.
I mean, I came up through,
you don't know.
I came up through Christian Brothers schools learning Irish, intermingled with Irish speaking people all through my life at times that I lived in Ireland. I've Irish language speaking friends still, interact with them a lot, and you know, not as much as other people do. So I have some sense of it, but I mean, it's an in, estimation.
It's a total guess.
An intuition, if you
Malachy,
like.
Malachy, stay there. And Patsy, stay there as well. We'll take some of your calls on this. David, go ahead.
Hey, Leon, how are you?
Good morning.
I have absolutely nothing against the Irish language. As a member of the Protestant community, I have nothing against the language at all. In fact, people have the right to learn it if they want. But it shouldn't be used as a weapon, a political tool, to browbeat and hold back our political institutions. We have far, far bigger things to worry about at the moment. But as a point that Malachy was making about people who fluently speak Irish, the late Martin McGuinness, when he was running for the presidency of the Irish Republic, was asked by Tina Gee to do his interview in Irish. He couldn't do it. The only one that was capable was Michael D. Higgins. Now, I don't, as I say, I have nothing against the language, but it's only used in the island of Ireland. How many people, for example, would speak fluent Irish in Australia, Argentina?
Well, would you feel it was a challenge to your Britishness if there was an Irish Language Act, and if we were seeing things like extra street names in Irish on bins, if things like that were being introduced where you lived?
I wouldn't say it's a challenge against my Britishness. Because
would you mind?
Let me finish. I'm dual nationality. I'm very proud to be British, and I'm also very proud to be Irish. And there's people out there who spit on me for saying that. But I would find it an absolute total waste of time to have two languages on road signs, on bins, on literature that you get from councils or from other institutions. That would be a waste of time. It would be a waste of money. There's bigger fish to fry. There's better things to spend the money on. And I think some of the politicians and some of the political parties have really lost the plot.
Patsy McClone, you hear what David is saying there, a waste of time and a waste of money.
Well, obviously I wouldn't argue that it's a waste of time, because this goes really essentially to what the core of the issues and the difficulties we've had traditionally and historically in Northern Ireland.
Well, what about the money then, Patsy?
Sorry, just if I could make my point, please, Vinnie. That's about the accommodation of two identities in this part of the island. And the aspects of the money, yes, the money is a key feature, and there have been projections and costs brought forward. And that, I should say, again, to get back to the point, that applies equally to the Irish language as it does to those who are championing the cause of Ulster Scots and that particular heritage. I think we have, since the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, which was to be about parity of esteem, we have never had a proper debate and a proper recognition at a political level of how we go about accommodating our difference and accommodating our difference in a process of reconciliation for the future and the way forward.
There's another problem
based
here,
on respect.
There's another problem here, and that is that if you take Irish language as a marker of identity in Northern Ireland, then what are you saying to the vast number of Northern Irish nationalist Irish people like myself, who don't speak Irish and who don't use it in daily life? In a sense, you're in danger of generating a message that we are not fully Irish, that we are, you know, that you're only really Irish if you speak the Irish language. Most of us do not speak the Irish language. Most of us have a wee smattering of it that we picked up in school and can use, you know, we can say slán and imagine my, like you say yourself. But to say that you need an Irish Language Act because it acknowledges the identity of another community in Northern Ireland, when the Irish language is not actually a marker of that identity, you know, then you're making a category error here. You're making the mistake.
Okay.
You're in danger of insulting people who are Irish but don't speak Irish language.